In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, I have to tell you the truth. I know absolutely nothing about sheep, outside of the fact that they produce wool and they make funny noises. I saw a sheep being shorn once when I was living in the north of France some years ago. But that's pretty much the extent of my knowledge of sheep. Now, aside from those facts, we might wonder just how sheep are able to know their shepherd. Now, this is a somewhat tricky question, because every time I start to conjecture, give my opinions about animals knowing or willing anything, I sometimes get into theological trouble, so I won't venture to answer those questions. I can't claim to know as much about sheep as I do about dogs, for example, but I'll try to say something about today's gospel. We can venture to look at the question of how our Lord's two-footed sheep are supposed to know him. Now, the answer is rather simple. We recite it every Sunday at Mass, and sometimes on weekdays when there's a great feast or a feast of the Doctor of the Church. Every time we do, we list the characteristics by which we know the church founded by Jesus Christ, which is a reflection of our blessed Lord himself. In the Creed, we say that the church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. It doesn't take very much to recognize that these adjectives also identify the church's founder. Indeed, the marks of the church, as we call them, derive from the very nature of its founder. Firstly, the true church is one. Just as God is one, God is unchanging and indivisible, immutable, over the centuries, the ages, the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of change or alteration. There is no difference of opinion either among the persons of the Most Blessed Trinity, nor, for that matter, can we even speak of consensus. Because God's knowledge of himself, we have to understand, and everything that he created is part of his divine essence. So there are no discussions to be made, no arguments, and no votes taken. We know God in his church where we see this same unity of unchanging truth. What the Father has revealed to us through Jesus Christ always was and always will be. There will never be any change about the number of persons in the Most Blessed Trinity. God will always be the only God. God the Son will always be the Redeemer of the human race. God the Holy Ghost will always be its sanctifier. Blessed Mary, Our Lady, will always be the Immaculate Virgin. We will know the Good Shepherd and his church in this never-changing unity of belief. The true church is holy, just as her head, Jesus Christ, is holy. Again, holiness is not something that's up for discussion or debate, but rather holiness is part of God's unchanging nature. We participate in this holiness, or we should participate in it through sanctifying grace and knowing and keeping the natural moral law and all divine positive law. As God is unchanging in his holiness, His law does not change from generation to generation among his creatures. The idea that the church must change with the times. How many times have we heard that? Or that modern man has been freed from the moral obligations of previous generations. It's just nonsense. And especially when we talk about God's law, we hear this all the time in our secular society and even in the church from many of her leaders. And in the end, isn't this really what the church has been doing for the past 60 years, trying to mimic the world and modern society? And unfortunately, it's still going on. There never was and never will be a time when the commandments and their underlying moral law will cease to bind. There will never be a time when what God reveals to us through sacred scripture and tradition will go out of style. To those who are trying to make the church or her liturgy or her doctrine more relevant to the times are wrong and are doomed to failure, and we can see this. We will know the Good Shepherd and his church in this never-changing rule of holiness. The church is universal, just as God is the God of all lands and peoples. Since there is but one God, there cannot be one church for the Europeans, another for the Africans, another for the Asians, or for Americans. As God is one and holy in his essence, so too is he universal, as must be the church. This will be true even if someday, let's say we colonize the planets. Say we go to Mars. Highly unlikely, probably impossible, but just let's say, well, God is God on Mars, and the church will be the church on Mars. No different. We'll see one day, maybe, Bishop of Mars, maybe Kenneth Boucheron, maybe the Bishop of Mars, who knows? We'll see. We'll see. We know this universality also in the common faith. We profess the same sacraments that we receive. And the church is apostolic. We know that Peter and the apostles were the chosen vessels of God's revelation of himself to mankind. Likewise, they were the vessels of God's sanctifying power in the sacraments. Without the truth, holiness, and sanctification conveyed to and through the apostles, it's meaningless to speak of God or his church. We will know the Good Shepherd and his church in this link with the 12 apostles. There's an anecdote in the life of Pope St. Pius X. It said that one day Pope Pius X visited one of the seminaries in Rome, and he asked the seminarians how the church could be identified. And quickly, of course, they responded with the four marks mentioned in the creed. The church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And the Pope smiled and asked, "E ancora? What else?" The students were somewhat unsure. Finally, one seminarian stood up and said, "The church is Roman." And the Pope responded, "Appunto, certo, Yes, of course. Thoroughly loyal to the See of Peter.
Ma ancora.
But what else? And the seminarians were at a loss, and the Pope had to answer the question. He said, the church is pure persecuted. We know the true church, for just like its founder, it's despised by those of the world. If impossibly it were ever to become popular with the politicians, the power brokers, the lobbyists, worldlings, it would cease to be the church, something which our blessed Lord promised would never happen. When at its founding, he promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And the church is persecuted. We see this even today. My friends, as St. Peter told us in today's epistle, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. If we're going to be the sheep of the Good Shepherd, we must strive to follow him in all these things. As we practice the Catholic faith, there will be certainly an inevitably suffering, difficulty, inconvenience, large and small, even persecution. But we have to also be certain our lives reflect the other four characteristics mentioned in the Creed. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic, with unchanging truth and morality given to the apostles by our Lord himself and passed on to us through them, through the church, the same throughout the world. Then the Good Shepherd will recognize us and take us for his own. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.